Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so hopefully we won't have any problems getting this Wednesday's blog up. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, Dan and I would greatly appreciate that. We still don't understand why Mr. Fantasy doesn't. We've just accepted that that's how he is. Don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan.
So, all right, you know, Dan, I wanted to start, I guess it would be a little off topic for us, but last Friday, and now I know neither you or I have watched this, or do we own the WWE Network, but they ran a show called, I want to say, the Greatest Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. Now, apparently I believe this was a purchase show that they were paid quite a large amount of money to run. But interestingly, being that it was Saudi Arabia, no women were allowed to wrestle on the show. Now, you know, the WWE has a decent roster of women wrestlers who actually, you know, are much improved in the ring over the models they used to use to try to wrestle. These are actually trained women wrestlers, so the matches are much better than what they used to be, and a lot of times they're the things I enjoy most on the shows because it's the wrestling I remember, and not everything is high spot to high spot with nobody selling anything. But this brought up an interesting point, I guess, Dan, and I'm wondering, if you could explain this one to me. Of course, with no women being allowed on the show, there were a lot of groups saying, well, that the WWE never should have agreed to run this show, and they should have taken a stand for female rights in a foreign country where their headquarters isn't. Dan, you know, there's a possibility that they made over $10 million on this show. This is a publicly traded company that people own shares in. Obviously, I'm guessing these people who said they shouldn't have done the show don't own WWE stock. How easy is it for these people to just say, oh, you should have done this, don't worry about the money if your business goes under?
You know, like you said, it's all about the money. But oddly, coming at the end of this month, I'm taking a business ethics class, and one of the required reading is economics, which I don't really know if I learned anything from reading this book or not, but one of the things they touched on was not just Saudi Arabia, but the Arab League in general, how it has the growth that they've expected over the last 20 years has not met the level of, you know, the Western, you know, what we're considered the West. And the biggest reason, you can see economists point out, is the fact that only half of their economy, you know, can work and can excel. So, you know, countries like that are going to forever fall behind because they're not using 100% of their economy, so to speak. And, you know, it's even sad to know that women in that country still don't know how to read, write, drive, or anything. But, you know, point out your thing. I mean, that's the way it is in that part of the world. And WWE is a global country, and, you know, they're going to make money. That's the whole point of a publicly traded company, is to make a profit for the shareholders. And barring any illegal, crimes or abuse, sex trafficking or any of that stuff, nothing's going to really deter that.
Yeah, and to be fair, while the women weren't arrested, weren't allowed on the card, I believe they didn't even travel with the company. As wrestlers on the road all the time, I'm sure they probably enjoyed the time off, but WWE also paid them, Dan. They were given bonuses because they were not allowed to, do this. And, WWE understood what was going on, and I thought they did a really nice job of, basically taking care of their employees, even though technically they're not employees, subcontractors. But, that was a nice gesture on their part to say, hey, okay, we get it. You can't do this, but here's a roster bonus or however else you want to look at it, because it's just the right thing to do.
Well, they didn't have to do that. And I'll be honest, I think it was probably in their best interest not to travel.
I know wrestling isn't the business it used to be where, I remember reading that one time, Ric Flair wrestled 367 times in a year and there's only 365 days, right? So that was, kind of interesting. Now the schedule is a little pulled back when you're a major, the only major company like that. But even so, it's still a lot. It's a lot of travel, a lot of, stuff like that that you put up with. So I'm sure, they probably, enjoyed a little break, if you're married, or I know one of them has kids. I don't know about the other one or, any of the other ones, but, it gives you a nice little time to spend with your family and, you get a chance to recharge because it can be a draining business. I mean, hell, just from working a couple weekend shows, you can be drained. So, I just found it really interesting that, it's so easy for people to go, oh yeah, hey, don't take that money, make a stand. Man, I got a business to run here. I'm going to make a statement, and when I go out of business, what do I do? That making that statement isn't going to help me. It doesn't pay my bills or keep my shareholders happy or anything like that. It just, makes my bank account lower. Mm-hmm. So I'm just kind of baffled by, but I guess, they're just looking at their cause alone and not the big picture, right?
Yeah, well, not only that, how can you bring about any kind of change into an area like that without fostering any kind of relationship?
Right. Yeah, I know the one kind of odd statement that came out of it, apparently one of the Saudi princes was the guy who put this together, and he wanted three wrestlers that he wanted to see on the show. He wanted to see The Undertaker, he wanted to see The Ultimate Warrior, and he wanted to see Yokozuna. So I'm not quite sure how up and hip he is with what's going on in WWE today, because the Ultimate Warrior's been dead for a little over a year now, I think, and Yokozuna's been gone for longer than that. A little off on what he was looking for, but he got to see The Undertaker. So, and they did bring in a sumo guy from Japan, so maybe that's satisfied.
The Undertaker uses a walking
man. Yeah, I just thought that was kind of strange that. Those were the three guys he wanted to see, and all I kept thinking is, man, when was the last time you watched a show? I haven't seen a full show in I don't know how long, and, I know they're, all you got to do is go on the internet to find out that stuff.
Well, they're on tape delay, so they're just getting 1995 WrestleMania.
Right, yeah. Yeah, how many years of tape delay do they have to be on to see those guys? And I mean, not joking about the fact that these two gentlemen are dead. It's just the idea that, this guy who really wanted to put on the show didn't know it. So.
Yeah, well, that reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever heard of the comedian. I think his name is Gabriel. He plays Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
He did a show in Saudi Arabia. It was paid for. You know, everything was paid for before he even got to the country. And he said when he got on stage, you know, one half was men and the other half were the women. And he's like, oh, you could see your eyeball. But, you know, that's the culture there. Based on religion.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, that, you know, that's the big thing there. I mean, you know, I mean, it's easy for you and I to sit here and say, oh, yeah, well, you do this with your money or you do that with your money. You know, we don't run the business. We don't answer to anybody. You know, I mean, it's none of our business if these guys get paid or they don't get paid or, you know, they get extra money. But, and it's even too bad that the fact that the women did get to enjoy the payday without, you know, having to go there and take the chance of any of the BS that goes on there. You know, and WWE included them. I thought that was a really nice gesture, but I guess that didn't even, you know, incur any positivity out of the people. It was just like, no, you shouldn't have done it. Oh, okay. I guess they shouldn't have done it. So what can you do, right?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering why Saturday morning that was making binge headlines. I didn't realize it was a show in Saudi Arabia. Or, you know, I mean, it's a deal. I didn't really look into it any further.
Yeah, you know, sadly, I still have way too many wrestlers on my Facebook page. You know, too many guys who think Vince is going to be calling them for jobs, even though they're, you know, in their mid to late 40s now. So they were, you know, I got to read all their reviews and see all their reviews on it. And I would just love to know. I don't understand. I know somebody said a few weeks ago, I guess WrestleMania was planned to be 7 hours long. And this show itself probably went 5 or 6. Boy, man, you talk about having to shorten baseball games. Maybe we need something that shortens wrestling pay-per-views, because that's just nuts.
You know, you've got to figure with it being in Saudi Arabia, you know, how many times a year do they go there, times a month? So I find it completely acceptable if it goes 5 or 6 hours, because you're number one, they're probably putting on their entire roster of male wrestlers. And number two, there's no time constraints, so they don't have all these advertisers and all that crap. So you're able to actually put on wrestling matches as opposed to, a 3-minute match with 2 minutes of talking that you can hurry up and get the commercial break.
Yeah, but I'm sure the matches were still all less than 10 minutes. It was just a lot of skits and interviews. And, you know, they did do the 50-man Royal Rumble, so that would take up quite a bit of time there.
Whoa.
But, you know, and to be fair, I don't care how long the show goes, because I'm not watching it. You know, you're not going to get me to sit there and you know, deal with that. So, I'm not spending 7 hours watching freaking WrestleMania or, you know, however long this thing was. And whenever the next pay-per-view is, I won't be watching that either. It's just, I don't have any interest in it. But, you know, that's what they, you know, that's how they're doing it. That's cool. And, you know, I know I'll always know what's going on, because, like I said, I got plenty of guys on my Facebook page that still think they're going to end up there. So, good luck, guys. Hope it works out for you.
Why you gotta be the bearer of bad news?
I wasn't. I was being positive. I think they'll all make it and sign deals and be very happy there for the rest of their lives. You know, just kind of how it goes. But all right, back on more of the fun stuff that you and I like, Dan. So, you know, we mentioned yesterday, you and I talked a little bit about it, that, you know, Corey Seager's done for the year. He's going to have Tommy John. And, you know, I was kind of wondering how the Dodgers were going to go about, you know, filling the space. Like, I think I saw Chris Taylor played short last night, and you and I kind of figured some of it would bounce around like that a little bit. But what I heard today, Dan, is apparently the Dodgers are going to solve their shortstop problems by trading for Manny Machado. So you're in on all that. You're cool. Manny just goes right to the Dodgers. We don't have to ask any other questions, and we can get on to the next story. Or do you have some questions like I do?
Oh, well, you know, once they're done with their trade, then the Giants are going to just trade Baumgartner to the Yankees and solve their pitching issues.
Yes. I actually did see another story on Bing that I think has now cycled out of the baseball news. Maybe it's just farther down, but they had the Cubs as the number one landing spot for Machado.
A straight up trade, right?
Yep. As a trade partner, he would be coming to the Cubs over the Dodgers.
That's a great story to write up, but Theo doesn't rent position players.
Yeah, to be fair, you and I could sit here and say Machado's going to every team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could say that story about every team. You know, I mean, you could go as far as to say that he's going to be the centerpiece for the Marlins rebuild. You know, will it happen? No, probably not. Or, you know, definitely not. He's not going to be in a Marlins uniform. But, you know, you and I could sit here and say it.
You guys are not off of work tomorrow. You could write a 31-page blog on each team, how they're going to get Manny Machado.
Yeah. You know what I mean? The Cubs have an overabundance of infielders anyways. I mean, obviously, you would have to assume an Addison Russell or a Javi Baez would go in a Machado deal, so he would fill that role. My guess would be Russell, because you'd want to plug Machado in at shortstop. But, you know, if I don't have some kind of guarantee from this guy that I'm going to be able to re-sign him, I'm not giving Baltimore anything for him. You know, I mean, if I'm the Cubs, I'm not giving you Addison Russell, a guy I have control over for all these years, for a guy I'm going to have for 125 games, unless you can guarantee me a World Series, which you can't. I'm not jumping on that bandwagon. And even in the situation, you know, the Dodgers are in, you know, there's other options out there. I mean, you need a shortstop. Go see if the Tigers will trade you Jose Iglesias. You know, I mean, he's not the hitter Corey Seager or Manny Machado is, but he's a better defender. So, there are other options out there like that, you know, instead of spending on, you know, Machado. I'm sure the Royals would move you Escobar, who's only on a one-year deal. You could probably get him really cheap. You know, I mean, I'm willing to bet you could probably get Escobar for a Class A prospect. You probably wouldn't even have to fork over somebody in your top 50. You know, again, he's not a fantastic power hitter. You're not going to get Corey Seager-like numbers out of him, but you know, he's got playoff experience. He won a World Series. You know, and he's another guy who's a really solid defender. So, I get it. You want to jump on and go for the flashy names, but you know, a lot of times that's not always the best bet for these teams. I mean, if you got it, you know, you give up something for Machado. Then it could cause holes down the way, you know, as things go. I am a little disappointed that Chris Taylor's in the lineup tonight playing short, and I don't see Kiki in the lineup. They're going with Verdugo left and then Muncy at third. That's a little disappointing because I picked Kiki up and I was hoping to get some at-bats. But a couple days in, I haven't seen much out of them, so that's quite disappointing. You may have to call L.A., Dan, and see why Kiki's not in the lineup. Did he not hustle and Dave Roberts benched him?
I'm not sure. But Kiki has been more of a late inning option, unfortunately.
Sadly, I needed some at-bats out of him this week because now I'm going to have to listen to Mr. Fantasy next week. Well, our shortstop didn't do anything. You know, well, you didn't have any ideas either there, buddy. So, easy on the hatred there with what I, you know, the move I made. I, I gave you the option and you didn't want to help me. So, but yeah, I, you know, who knows? But you know, I did want to ask you, Dan, can you tell me what Bryce Harper, Andrew Benintendi, JT Realmuto, Anthony Rizzo, and let me see if there's anybody else. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Nah, nobody good. What do those players all have in common tonight, Dan?
They're leading off.
Yes, correct. Ding, 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 ding. They are all in the leadoff spot for their teams. So welcome to the sabermetric way of messing your lineup up. Because while they will get five at-bats in the game, they will probably come up multiple times with nobody on base. So congratulations on those solo home runs, guys. Idiots. Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I was checking the schedule. He sent me putting a lineup together. I noticed Rizzo was leading off, and I was just saying to myself last night, because you were sleeping, that I really like having Elmora 1, 2, Bryant 3, Rizzo 4, Contreras 5, who's not in the lineup tonight. I don't know if Hayward played last night, but he'd make a good 6.
No.
Russell 7 and half 8.
Well, see, the important thing, though, Dan, that you have to realize with the Cubs is Ben Zobrist is back. So he has to be in the lineup. I'm starting to think that that's in his contract. So, of course, the hot-hitting Alberto Almora and the also hot-hitting Javier Baez are both going to sit this one out tonight because we need Rizzo to lead off because he was the Cubs' best leadoff man last season. But, you know, that, of course, means Chris Bryant back second. And then your heart of the order, Dan, has Ben Zobrist, Addison Russell, and Kyle Schwarber for 3, 4, and 5. So you can't go wrong there, can you?
So your 3, 4, and 5 are going to combine for 4 strikeouts tonight, at least 5?
Well, my guess is, you know, Zobrist and Schwarber will probably combine for 4 strikeouts apiece. They may get to 10 if things go correctly.
In reality, they should
fire Joe Maddon just for turning this lineup card in. You don't need any other reason besides that. I mean, when you look at this lineup, he should just be, you know, automatically fired. I mean, Almora and Baez have been two of the best hitters in the National League since Almora started playing every day, and now you're going to tell me, well, he needs a day off. He's been playing a lot. Well, he didn't play the first 3 weeks of the season. I think he's gotten plenty of rest. You know, but well, you know, we got to get Ian Happ in center. Ian Happ needs those reps in center because Almora's only been a gold glove caliber defender. And, you know, you and I didn't even mention the fact that he saved Kyle Schwarber the other day when he couldn't see the ball in the sun and had to come over from center field to make the catch in left. But hey, let's run Ian out there today and see if he can help us out. We'll be good there. We want to stack the left-handed hitters, Dan. We need Zobrist and Rizzo and Caratini and Hop in the lineup. You know, let's get the lefties out there. So we'll be good. You know, I know they're on a winning streak, but they deserve to lose tonight when you're managed like this. Jeez.
Sadly, I don't think Schwarber would be able to see a ball hit directly to him.
Well, there are, you know, he might not, but, you know, this one he did lose in the sun.
I guess I better take the W flag down when I get home.
So, you know, unless, you know, maybe Madden's trying to shake it up because they haven't been hitting much lately with the exception of Almora and Baez. So it makes good sense to take the two guys out of your lineup who have been hitting the best when your team really hasn't been hitting. Wait, does that mean Kevin Hickey's job is in danger, Dan? Because he's the pitching coach and they're not hitting. I'm confused by this.
Yeah, well, you know, that's been one of the things that turned me off from picking Rizzo and any of the FanDuel lineups, be it the home run or what is it called, the quick pitch that you tossed at me today. You know, I looked at his numbers.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's like 0 for 0 for 0 for 0 for throughout the entire, you know, entire page. You know, maybe he's doing,
you know, why that is.
I just can't, you know, spend the, you know, that was the thing that killed me, the high price for him when he hasn't done anything.
You know why he's having this kind of year, don't you?
Because he's batting third all the time.
No, he's on my he's on one of my fantasy teams. This is the first year I've ever had him. I think he's on our my auction league team, and yeah, he's just a dog. But humorously, Dan, looking at the Nationals lineup tonight, you can tell that Davey Martinez spent a lot of time working with Joe Maddon because, you know, he's got Harper in the leadoff spot, even though Trey Turner is a natural leadoff guy. So we'll plug him in second. The heart of their order is the is Matt Adams, Ryan Zimmerman, and Howie Kendrick at 3, 4, and 5. And then just to shake things up even more, Max Scherzer is going to bat eighth tonight, Dan.
So can I just bring my resume and become a manager because I could just do whatever I want?
Yeah, I no idea. Looking at these things, I don't know what numbers these idiots get or they're looking at that says these are the best options, because it's just a huge joke. I mean, I from the Marlins' point of view, I can kind of see it. You know, Realmuto is probably one of the few on-base guys you actually have. So, okay, you plug him in the leadoff spot. I can kind of deal with that. I mean, but, guys like Rizzo and Harper are wasted up there. I mean, it's not doing you, you know, one bit of good. You know, and I don't want to hear the BS about, well, you know, this and that, and, you know, it says sabermetric. Yeah, okay. You know, that's why for years guys hitting in the 3 and 4 hole put up fantastic numbers, because sabermetrically they weren't supposed to. That's nice. Idiots. You know, just drives me nuts. I don't understand why you look at a lineup card and go, oh, it would be so great if Matt Adams hit third for us tonight. Or, you know, I need to see Ben Zobrist in that 3 hole because he's a proven run producer. That's what I need. Okay. So, you know what I mean? At least like with the Red Sox, you know, Benintendi leads off, but JD Martinez is in the 3 hole. So, you know, it's not like they've got Christian Vasquez hitting there tonight. You know, I mean, they have legitimate power guys, you know, through the order. But, of course, I guess that's why they have one of the best if not the best record in baseball. And the rest of these teams are just kind of showing up for work right now. Oh, and then I did get a kick, Dan. I don't know if the MLB Network covered it last night. I didn't think they had the game on. But I got to listen for, probably a good 10 minutes about Billy Ripken cry because the Yankees decided to give Aaron Judge a day off last night.
I hit a windy spot, so that's why I haven't been
thinking. Did you fly away?
Do you want to elaborate? He was just upset about it, or?
Yeah, you know, it was kind of the weirdest thing. You know, he was complaining about the fact that, you know, we've only played a month into the season and there's been a lot of games postponed and a lot of days off factored in, and he just didn't see the need for giving Judge a day off. You know, and I was just kind of like, okay, did he have money on the game and he lost it because Judge wasn't in the lineup or something?
Well, you know, you're usually an advocate for why the hell do these guys need such so many days off, you know. To a young kid, what did he need a day off for? Is he slumping?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Obviously, Yeah, you know, and that's what I'm going to try to look here as soon as my computer catches up on, like, what his stats are. And, you know, see if maybe, yeah, he was, you know, I mean, I'm trying to remember, well, it was Charlie Morton last night, so I would think he would have been okay going, you know, there. I don't know why that would have been a problem, unless Morton has really good numbers against him or something.
Well, he didn't have really good numbers last night in general. I think he went almost, what, 7-8 innings, struck out at least, like, somewhere around 10-11 batters.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it looks like, you know, he did okay for the last week. I mean, he hit .292 with a home run and 3 RBIs. I mean, no surprise he struck out 15 times, but we expect that. You know, that's no big deal. But he has, you know, he has played in 28 games. You know, I don't know, maybe they saw something where he just needed a... you know, needed a blow, or they didn't like the matchup, or maybe somebody else needed some at bats, and they just decided to do a, you know, a quick plug in. But I think I was just kind of more shocked. I mean, like, I'm more aggravated by the fact that I'm listening to these idiots say that LeBron James is tired and they have to monitor his minutes tonight, when they're in the playoffs and these games mean everything, you know, while Billy Ripken's freaking out about a game 28 where, you know, we've got, what, 130 plus to go?
Now, was this before they got their butts handed to them or after? Well, I guess they didn't really get...
This was today. I saw him complaining about it today, so... you know, and I mean, it was still a close game last night. I mean, they only lost 2-1. Judge did pinch hit and draw a walk. So, you know, I mean, it's not like he didn't end up in the game. I mean, it was just, you know, like you said, Charlie Morton was really good. 7 2/3, just 2 hits, the 1 run, walked 2 and struck out 10.
I'm pretty good with my numbers. I didn't even...
Yeah.
Just from a quick recap at lunch today, you know, maybe that's why he was upset, because it's not so much about the resting him in general. You just threw up the numbers that he's been running with, and the whole objective of any sport is to win games. You know, I mean, but at the same time, you know, we talked about this before, and I don't want to knock Boone down a couple pegs or three, but how much of his direction is coming from the front?
Yeah.
You know, how much is Cashman involved in day-to-day lineups and things of that sort, where he may not have gotten that cooperation from Joe Girardi at all? That's why I don't believe in the whole, oh, it's the younger, hipper, you know, manager who's going to relate better to the younger players. I mean, why not just call it like it is? You know, going into Washington, who's the manager now? Former bench coach for Joe Maddon, who must have shown great qualities in following orders. Coming from the front office. You know, I mean...
Yeah.
I don't know.
You
kind
know,
of
you
like
know,
here in Chicago. I still wonder what the role of Jed Hoyer really is, because it seems like Theo does everything. And
I'd be
glad to be Jed Hoyer. Should get paid all that money and just kind of, you know, hang out with Theo. Like, yep. But then again, I'm not a yes man, so I don't know how well that would work out.
You know, and, you know, Judge is back in the lineup tonight against what should be a much tougher matchup in Justin Verlander. So,
oh, yeah.
Again, I'm thinking maybe, you know, they were just looking to, you know, pick up some at-bats for, let me see who played here last night. You know, they got, you know, Aaron Hicks was in the lineup last night instead of Judge. Stanton played right field. You know, and they were also able to give Gary Sanchez, you know, part of the game off. He was able to DH. So, you know, there, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces that go into it like that. You know, because Sanchez has been, you know, I know he's not hitting well for the year, but he's been pretty hot last week. So, you know, you keep his bat in the lineup. You know, Judge gets a little bit of a spell, even though he did make an appearance. You know, I just don't think, you know, when it comes to baseball that, you know, one game isn't the deal he made it out with. Now, I understand, I know they're I think they're the nationally televised game today on the Mickey Mouse Network. So, you know, if for some reason he was off today, you know, they would be having a fit kind of like, you know, the Yankees would probably be fined like Greg Popovich and the Spurs, you know, when he gives his star players days off on, you know, on nationally televised games. So. But yeah, like I said, I just thought it was kind of humorous that was the, you know, that was his view on it. You know, Bill Ripken, because, you know, when you think Ripken, Bill is the name you come up with first. Oh, and I was actually wrong. It's on the MLB Network tonight, so he should be calm because Judge is playing, and anybody who wants to see the game will find his network if you have it and watch it. So he should be okay. So, just didn't get it. Didn't make a lot of sense to me, but then again, what does? It's just how I am. So we shall see. But all right, well, here's the rest of your matchups you get to look for tonight. It looks like Texas at Cleveland just got started. So you got Doug Fister and Mike Clevenger starting that game. Pittsburgh is at Washington. It's Chad Kuhl and Max Scherzer, the starters there. Tampa Bay's at Detroit. It's Chris Archer and Matthew Boyd. Milwaukee is at Cincinnati. We got Chase Anderson and Homer Bailey making the starts there. Atlanta is taking on the Mets tonight. Now, the Braves have called up one of their top prospects, Michael, I'm going to guess this is Sorka. He gets the start for them tonight. He's taking on Noah Syndergaard. The Royals are at the Red Sox. It's Jacob Junis and Chris Sale starting there. The Phillies are at the Marlins. It's Zach Efron and Harlan Garcia, the listed starters. The Rockies are here in Chicago to take on the Cubs. We got John Gray and Kyle Hendricks starting. The Blue Jays are at the Twins. We got Marco Estrada and Kyle Gibson starting there. I mentioned the Yankees are at the Astros. It's Jordan Montgomery for the Yankees, Justin Verlander for the Astros. The White Sox are in St. Louis. It's James Shields against Michael Wacha. The Dodgers are at the Diamondbacks tonight. We got Clayton Kershaw going for the Dodgers. He's taking on Matt Cook for Arizona. The Orioles are at the Angels. It's Alex Cobb and Nick Trepino making the start there. We got the A's at the Mariners. It's Andrew Triggs and the King, Felix Hernandez, on the mound for the Mariners tonight. And we wrap up with San Diego at San Francisco. It's Tyson Roth and Andrew Suarez making the start for the Giants tonight. So there you go. We have all that going on. I can tell you that Jeff Samardzija really let me down in FanDuel last night. Only lasted 5 innings and only racked up 5 strikeouts. I was kind of hoping for 7-7. So no surprise, I took a beating. I had a real, real rough outing with that. He just didn't do me any favors. But, you know, we loaded it up and we're going to give it another shot tonight and we'll see how it goes. You know, maybe this is my problem. I got to start looking and reading on these value guys and stuff, and maybe I'm getting myself into trouble there. But I did decide, and interestingly, I'm looking at the leaderboard really quickly here, and I'm in a league where you can have multiple entries. And right now, the top 25 spots are all occupied by the same guy. Yeah. So, but I went with Michael Wacha for $7,000 as my pitcher. So I'm buying the Matt Adams hype tonight. He's my first baseman, only cost me $2,000. He's hitting third for the Nationals tonight. Robbie Cano at second, $4,300 against the A's tonight. Travis Shaw at third, $3,800. He's hitting cleanup for the Brewers. Carlos Correa at shortstop. He's hitting third for the Astros tonight. My outfield features Mike Trout, $5,400. Big bucks on Mike Trout tonight. Hitting second for the Angels. I got Aaron Altair. $2,800 hitting cleanup for the Phillies. And my last outfielder is Matt Joyce, leading off for the A's tonight, $2,400. And in my utility spot, I plugged in Yuri Gurriel for $2,900. So yeah, quick recap here. I got Walker pitching, Adams as my catcher, first baseman, Cano at second, Shaw at short, Shaw at third, Correa at short. My outfield is Trout, Altair, and Joyce, and my utility guy is Gurriel. So we shall see how that works out for me. I managed not to homer again last night. It's almost magic that I could do that. I have to be the worst at picking guys who are going to homer. I don't know how that happens. I'm just horrible. So tonight I'm going with CJ Cron hitting second for Tampa Bay, Nelson Cruz hitting cleanup for the Mariners, and Justin Upton hitting third for the Angels. So hopefully you didn't go with any of those guys because they probably will not homer tonight. If you did, I'm sorry. You know, we'll have to see how that goes. But yeah, that's what I'm running out tonight. Yeah, my Jeff Samardzija-led lineup racked up 104 points last night. So yeah, that was not a very good attempt at anything. Not that I've been knocking the paint off the walls or anything here with my lineups, but 104 is really bad. Samardzija just racked up 24 points. Joey Votto was okay at 15-4, definitely not worth his money, but Brian Dozier and Daniel Robertson took zeros. Jose Peraza was super hot until I put him in my lineup. He got 3.5 points last night. My outfield was really solid. Lorenzo Cain got 31-2. Ryan Braun put up 18-2. And Austin Jackson, a $2,000 player, put up 12.5 points. But Carlos Santana choked for him. He got a big zero. He had a chance with the bases loaded and ended up weakly, like, flying out the short right field. So yeah, it was just a bit of a dog night for me there on FanDuel. So hopefully it will be a little better tonight. We'll have to see. Did you hit any homers last night?
You think you're bad? I haven't hit them all week. Granted, it's only Tuesday. But yeah, Sunday, Monday, 0-0. I think I got 0 on Saturday. Tonight I have a new strategy. I'm going with players that seem to be high picked or picked a lot. You know, it says played and it says so many times. So I went with a stupid lineup tonight, but we'll see if it, you know, pans out. Because, you know, if I don't pick these guys, they'll hit bombs. But if I pick them, they hit nothing. Like I picked Didi like 3 days in a row because I figured 3 days in a row he hit home run, except the 3 days I picked him. So tonight, I'm going out west. I forget who's pitching because for whatever reason, my phone is doing that weird thing where it won't let me access the internet while I'm on the phone. But I have Trout, Pujols, and Mitch Haniger. So ideally, I'll hit 6 home runs, but realistically, it'll be.
I like the fact that you have Angels because they're facing Alex Cobb. I that's the reason I put Justin Upton in my lineup. So
I thought about Upton, but he hasn't been hitting any homers. So I was actually going to do all Angels, but
yeah. Well, I figure we're, you know, since we you have two Angels, I have one, and we each have a Mariner. That means neither team is going to homer tonight. So if you have the opportunity to change your lineup and you're listening to us, go get the Angels and Mariners out of your lineup because Dan and I have just killed them. So,
which is killing me because what week are we in? Are we in week 3 or 4?
I don't remember. But yeah, it's one
whatever.
Of two.
Yeah, well, the second week, I believe it was 8 or 9 home runs. I didn't win during the week, but across the 7 days, I had about 8 or 9 home runs, and I landed, you know, somewhere like $5 or $6. I just woke up one day, checked my FanDuel, I was like, whoa, there's money.
So, well, you'll get a kick out of this. The only guy who's homered for me this week has been Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah, I picked him on the day he didn't.
You know, I just wonder, you know, I've used him twice this year and he's homer both days. I just wonder if I picked him every day, if he would homer every game. I'm guessing no, but, you know, right now he's perfect for me.
Like they say,
Right, you know, that's the thing. I don't want to tarnish his legacy there by, you know, by overusing him and just, you know, just destroying him. I think that would be bad. So, but, yeah, so, you know, so far so good with Gonzalez.
I know he's about, I believe he's like 35 or 36 now. I know he's a couple years younger than I am, but there's got to be something to say, be said about my theory on, you know, older guys, especially, or injured guys, just not playing for a year. I mean, I forget, yeah. You know, I don't have the numbers off the top of my head, but I mean, what did he really play in last year in L.A.? It was under, I know it was definitely under, it had to be under 30 games. I could be wrong, but he really did not play. Especially in the second half, he really did not play. So, you know, kind of coming back into this situation, I think it's been good for him. You know, he didn't have to play pretty much the second half of last year. Takes off, comes in, you know, spring training, I think probably feeling a little bit better. And, you know, the situation he's in New York, I think it's a great situation for him, being that you don't have, you know, a couple other kids behind you that are ready to play first base.
Okay, well, he will be 36 in a week. His birthday is May 8th, and he played 71 games for the Dodgers last year.
Oh, wow, I didn't think it was that many.
Yeah, so, and to be fair, he is scuffling a little with the Mets this year. He's only hitting .227 in 21 games, but he does have three homers, and I've had him in Home Run Derby two out of those three times. So I will take credit for all of those, or at least two of them. But, yeah, like you said, he's in a much better, much, much better position now than he was last year. You know, no, obviously no pressure. And, you know, I think he'll hit. I don't think it will be too big of a problem.
No, they need more games in San Diego. So.
Yeah. You know, that will be, you know, that would be fun. But I did want to ask you, you know, like I said, I heard this, you know, the thing today, you know, the Celtics, they're not the Celtics, the Cavaliers open up game one tonight in Toronto. You know, they're coming off the seven game series where, you know, they, not surprisingly, got by the, who were those guys? The Pacers. They got by the Pacers in seven games, but now, you know, I've heard multiple experts mention this, Dan, that LeBron is tired, he's worn down, and even Ty Lue said he's going to try to manage his minutes. You know, Dan, LeBron is supposed to be the greatest player to ever play the game. He's an elite athlete who is trained by probably the best people in the world. Isn't this the time of the year that these guys suck it up and they play because it's what they do for a living and they want to win championships? Or am I in the wrong game? Did I miss something? No, they all want to be friends and hang out together, right?
Yes.
I can't remember
which. Well, that number one.
Yeah.
Well, that too, but you forget he doesn't train for seven game playoff series. Only championships. Exactly. The championship series, the finals, that's the seven-game series he trains for. You know, and that has nothing to do with, you know, competition, more so as it has to do with television ratings and them wanting the series to go seven games for TV and, you know, revenue. But, you know, the first, second round, he doesn't train for seven games. He's not accustomed to that. Usually a sweep, get a week and a half off because, you know, NBA playoffs are every other day. You know, which I find funny that the Stanley Cup will be done and finished before the finals even start. And they both technically start playoffs around the same time. Give it take a couple days. So, You know, I mean, I didn't know Tyronn Lue was allowed to say anything, though. They okayed that with LeBron.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure they did, you know. So, you know, but this is just, that's just, you know, standard coach speak. Well, you know, I'm going to monitor his minutes. No, you're not. You know, I know better. You know, that's not a surprise. He, you know, if LeBron says he's going in the game, he's going in the game. There, you know, there's no, you know, no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But, yeah, I just kind of, it's always so weird on, you know, the different stances that the same people will take on LeBron as things change. You know, it's just kind of like, well, you know, he needs rest. He can't keep doing this. Why can't he keep doing this? He's playing every third day. You know, you can't tell me he's working out in between. And if he is, it's highly monitored, so he's not doing anything that's going to, you know, infringe his play or anything like that. You know, I mean, they make it seem like he's out there running triathlons in between, you know, on days off.
Well, and not only that, I mean, at this point in his career, between days, you know, between games, what does he really need to do? Maybe go to the gym, walk on a treadmill for 20 minutes, you know, do some squats, jump squats. But this is a man who's been playing basketball his whole life. I don't think it's necessary for, especially him at his caliber, to even have to go and do anything. He should be able to, you know, certain pro wrestlers that I've known that, you know, guys who've toured the world, you know, their fathers are famous guys that show up to a venue and you go, hey, you're on. And he just takes his shirt off and goes, oh, I mean, that should be LeBron James. Oh, hey, we're game starting. Oh, it is? Let me take my shirt and my, you know, my swishy pants off and let's go.
I thought you were talking about me there for a minute, but, you know.
Yeah. Now that was Brian Christopher. Classic night.
Yeah, well,
night.
I did. You know, I remember. So, but yeah, you know, yeah, like you said, it's weird. I mean, you know, what's he doing on his off days? You know, I would assume he's spending time with his family, and you know what, maybe going to the trainer and getting a massage. I mean,
yeah, well,
you know, what more does he need? Maybe, you know, you shoot some free throws, maybe just because you know you want to practice a little bit. You know, not even that he's a bad free throw shooter. I mean, just the fact that, you know, you get, you know, one of those things, you know, hey, here you go. So, that's what I mean. Right. You know, you know, give LeVar a call, see what's going on. You know, you're looking for your shoes. You know, hey, LeVar, I ordered these shoes. Where are they, brother? You know.
You know, see what Carmelo's doing.
Yeah, you know, you talk Chris Paul to see how their series is going, you know, want to know if you guys are going to go on a trip again this year or something like that, you know, so, you know, yeah, I don't, you know, like I said, if he's running triathlons on his day off, then I think he's training improperly, but I just don't get the, you know, the idea. I mean, what, they played Sunday, right, was the big game 7?
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, okay, well, you know, maybe he's dragging a little bit today because it is Monday. He only had the one day after, you know, a really big effort. But, you know, we're not talking about like you or I dragging into the office for, you know, a Monday morning meeting or whatever. We're talking about the greatest basketball player in the world having a day off before he goes and does his job. That's a big difference. I mean, I know you're still in, you know, semi-decent shape. You know, I'm a big fat tub of goo. You know, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So, you know, it would be a problem for me, like it is every morning, getting my big round rear end out of bed when the alarm goes off. For a guy like LeBron, this shouldn't be an issue at all, right?
No, not at all.
So, I don't know, but I did hear, Dan, that a lot of people think this will be why the Raptors win the series. Do you buy that? I mean, I got LeBron going to the conference finals, Dan. I don't think the Raptors beat him. Are you buying that sentiment that LeBron's tired and the Raptors are going to knock him out?
No. The only way LeBron will be knocked out is if he's completely unhappy in Cleveland, because that's what we saw in the finals for Miami and San Antonio. But before you go on, you know, like you said, Lou said they're monitoring his minutes. Doesn't everyone who watches any NBA game, aren't we all capable of monitoring every player's minutes? What the hell does that mean? You know, it's supposed to mean
how long he's actually on the court is what he's, you know, trying to do. So, but I do have a way, Dan. I have a way for Toronto to win, and I think you'll agree with me, okay? No matter what happens tonight, if Toronto wins or loses, I think Drake needs to take LeBron out in the clubs in Toronto. I don't know where they are, how they do it, but I think Drake is the key here. He's got to get LeBron out on the town and make sure when, you know, the next game rolls around, which is Thursday night, that LeBron is actually really tired and too worn out to play in Thursday's game. Right? I mean, I really think that's the key for Toronto to win, isn't it? I mean, let's rely on Drake here.
Or as Drake would say, it's God's plan. God's plan. So that's actually a good one.
Not the game tonight, Dan. We got game two, the Pelicans for Golden State. Steph Curry returns, Dan. How many points does he score tonight? 50?
37. I don't know why that never popped into my head.
Because that's the last age you remember you were? Oh.
Yeah. But, you know, you brought up Drake taking out LeBron. I don't know if you read this one earlier. I believe I tweeted it out, but I may not have, or I don't know if all our tweets are going around each other, but, you know, it was brought to so-and-so's attention in the New York Mets organization. I can't remember his name off the top of my head right now. That while the Mets were in San Diego, Matt Harvey allegedly flew back to L.A. to go party. And
yes, I
the
did hear-
New York Mets. The New York Mets official man, GM or president, I don't know who the hell it was, I forgot, said, well, that's not really news to me. I may have heard about it, but you're not surprising me so long. So, no, I'm not surprised. I guess my only question is, Big Jack, why the hell would he fly back to L.A. when it's just like, I supposedly, from what I understand, a walk over to the bridge to Tijuana where everything's legal?
Well, he was apparently he partied with some A-list celebrities. You know, I heard there were multiple names. The only name that stuck out to me was Halle Berry was apparently at the party that Harvey was at with a few other names. Like I said, I'm drawing a blank now, but they were names that obviously we would all recognize. So I'm guessing that's why he went. And, you know, the drawback, of course, was the fact that he went out the next day and pitched like crap. You know, if he'd had a great outing, I don't think anybody would have cared. So, all right, well, the music means that Dan and I are taking off, but we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to do this all again. And before I keep going, I know there's hockey tonight, and I need the Capitals to win game three, so go Washington. While Dan and I are gone, though, sportstimeradio.com, check out what's going on over there. Follow the link to the Facebook page. Give that a like, please, but don't forget that Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. Find Dan and I on Twitter if you'd like. That's pretty cool, but always, big thanks for you to jump on and listen live to us. Really nice that you do that. But remember, all you got to do is go over to tunein.com. You can listen to the podcast anytime you want.
The puck drops in about a minute. Let's go, Cam. SportsTimeRadio.com.